Much as I enjoyed the echoey way my boots clicked over the empty hall's old floorboards, I wished they weren't making quite so much noise. Although, come to think of it, I'd never seen another soul on the fourth floor, one of the reasons I loved it. Another was its scent, warm attic perfume of pine, camphor, and old leather. Mostly, as someone who pined her way through prairie winters at the University of Illinois, I loved this hallway's winter light. It wasn't Florida's subtropical sun, but well into glacial February, thin rays slanted through its high, diamond-leaded, amber-stained glass windows like two-dimensional honey. So unlike the biting white light glaring through most of the campus's windows. The light on this floor touched the dark metal of the gently clanging radiator with gold and burnished the old wood on which my heels were making such a racket. But really, there was nothing to worry about, was there? What I was about to do wasn't wrong. The stuff was already bagged up and piled into the wire trash can. Tags reading deaccessioned were tied to the rope handles, so I knew the stuff was unwanted. It's just that hauling bulky packages out of the garbage was a bit unseemly. Besides, I didn't know what was in them. When I studied anthropology in the early 80s, the university had several small museums. My favorite held its natural history collection. The little museum in a four-story classroom building was one of those relics of Victoriana, complete with glass-domed specimens and crumbling botanical samples pressed between yellowing paper. The plaster under its faded murals of Plains Indians was sloughed in ragged patches. Many of its wrought iron light fixtures lacked bulbs, and its motley handful of taxidermied animals was in bad shape, missing bits of fur, ears, that sort of thing. The museum was obviously out of favor with the administration and therefore neglected. I don't remember it appearing on any campus maps, nor was it someplace visitors were ever directed. But I was one of those people who knew her way onto all the campus roofs, traveled its gated freight elevators, and explored the steam tunnels. This museum was my kind of place, as was the empty floor above it, where there were a few classrooms and a storage area. And it was there that I'd come across the deaccessioned bags of who knows what, which I was now easing into my thrift store trench coat. When I got home and opened my not quite purloined parcel, I found I had snagged a bag of ratty mounted birds, a green heron, a grouse, and a herring gull. For the next several years, those stuffed birds traveled across the country with me, falling apart one by one. The heron ended its days in the Chicago suburbs. The grouse made it as far as Boston. But that gull, tattered, balding, and one-eyed, traveled all the way with me to Florida. That seemed fitting because the spidery script on its wooden base said it had come from the state back in 1896. After a century and a 4,000-mile trip, that ancient gull finally met its end in the jaws of a Florida puppy. Not your typical gull predator, to be sure, but given my life, it seemed somehow fitting.